Coming up on this week's show, we'll be chatting with country singer and songwriter Colin Axwell, and he's going to share with us his hilariously but very true video and single, Wild Side. But first, sports fans, let's head on over to the Sports Corner with Clint, so definitely stay tuned. We will be right back.
Wayne Brady for the Will Rogers Institute.
Hey folks, I've got something that will truly revolutionize your life. It's called exercise. It will get you from here to there, allow you to spend time with your family and meet new people, cut inches from your waistline, and improve the quality of your life. Even help improve your self-image.
Sexy.
So when you've got to choose between moving around or lying on the couch, choose exercise. You won't be sorry.
For your free booklet, visit WRinstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
It is time to go to the Sports Corner with our favorite commentator, Clint. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So let's go ahead and jump right into the MLB. The Texas Rangers are, let's just say, not doing so well, but they can improve, right?
Right. Well, you know, there are a few things not going the Rangers' way right now. Yu Darvish just returned to the lineup. He's still got to kind of get some things sorted out after coming back from Tommy John surgery. And, you know, Martin Perez hasn't looked great recently. He's got a couple of things to figure out. And then, you know, they're still without Derek Holland and Colby Lewis. So they've, you know, they've gone through a couple of other guys, Chichi Gonzalez, Nick Martinez, Kyle Loesch, kind of trying to fill those two spots left, and it just really hasn't been working out for them. Nick Martinez got the start against Oakland on Tuesday night. Kyle Loesch got designated for assignment, which means the Rangers are pretty much done for him. So basically what all of this means is the Rangers have to trade for a starting pitcher. And the trade deadline is August 1st. So that's kind of the day to circle on your calendar. That's the last day that they can go out and really get somebody without having to go through waivers and all that kind of stuff. So August 1st is going to be kind of the big day. It's kind of quickly approaching here for our Rangers. The other move that the Rangers just made is they just called up Joey Gallo. And this comes in the wake that Prince Fielder has another herniated disc in his neck, as he did 2 years ago when he was first traded to the Rangers. He will have to have season-ending surgery on that herniated disc, and it's to be determined, you know, how this will affect baseball going forward from him beyond just this season. So Prince Fielder is done for the season. Sen-Soo Choo is back on the disabled list with a back injury, so he came back for a couple weeks. He is now gone for at least a few weeks, probably a month. So Joey Gallo gets called up. He is playing right now for the Rangers. And, you know, there's a lot of questions on timing that, hey, you know, maybe this may be to showcase him a little bit, some of these teams, to try to make him a piece in a deal for you know, a starting pitcher. It may be to see for the Rangers to see if he can play, to see if they can deal jerks and profile for a starting pitcher. But one way or another, the Rangers have got to get some pitching help, both in the starting rotation and in the bullpen. And the big bullpen piece that everybody was kind of out there hunting down was the Yankees' Aroyles Chapman. He got dealt to the Chicago Cubs earlier this week, so he is now a Chicago Cub. The Cubs gave up quite a bit to get him onto their team. He is a phenomenal closer, throws like 108 mile per hour fastball. So the Yankees ended up coming out with a really good deal for that, despite kind of the media nightmare that came with that when they made that deal for him in the offseason. Some people may remember that he was accused of domestic abuse during the offseason. Ended up being cleared of all charges. You can draw your own conclusions with that. But the Yankees bought him really low, so sold him really high. So now that piece is gone. The Rangers can't get him. The Yankees still have two more closers that they're looking to deal. Kansas City, San Diego, Philadelphia, maybe the White Sox all have starting pitchers that they're looking to deal. So the Rangers are going to be able to get a piece here. It's just going to be a matter of how much they're going to have to pay for it.
And, I mean, what we heard about Prince Fielder probably going to be ending his season short because of his neck injury. I mean, we're like, well, what next?
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate. It's literally in the exact same spot that he had the herniated disc 2 years ago, that he actually had the season before, didn't know it, passed a physical when got traded to the Rangers. The physical didn't catch it. He played a little bit of that season, that first season with the Rangers, just couldn't get anything going. They finally did an MRI and caught it and had to have season-ending surgery then. So now here we are a second time, same injury, same place, same surgery. You know, one of the local reporters here in DFW kind of got some hot water because he was asking, you know, does Prince Fielder's weight have anything to do with this? And essentially what, you know, the doctors eventually had to say was, yeah, his weight does have a little bit to do with this. Genetics plays a little bit of a factor too, but when you add having genetics that can make you have this injury and then you add weight on top of that, it can cause it to happen more often. Two surgeries, same thing, same time, only 2 years apart, is not a very good sign for anybody in professional sports.
Well, let's hope that he gets better and it doesn't require retirement. That's the one thing that people do not want to hear.
Well, maybe not, but maybe if you're a Rangers fan, I don't want to put this, you know, I don't want to say that this is what, you know, anybody's hoping for, but that is a huge contract and a huge amount of money that the Rangers are paying Prince Fielder. If he did have to retire from an injury like that, the Rangers would be able, through insurance, be able to get most of that contract money back and use that to sign somebody else. So no, we don't want that to happen to Prince Fielder, but it's also not the end of the world for Rangers fans if it did have to happen.
All right, so let's talk about the other MLB teams. What you got?
Well, you know, we are past the All-Star break now. And like I said, some teams are going to be selling, some teams are going to be buying. The team that I really wanted to talk about right now is the Chicago White Sox. They are a team that have had a lot of interesting things go on this season. If you remember preseason, Adam LaRoche was a member of the White Sox, got told by White Sox management that his son couldn't be in the clubhouse anymore. And basically just quit the team, retired from baseball, and said, you know, you don't want my son here, that's fine, I don't need to be here either. And the reason why I bring that up is because Chris Sale was deeply impacted by that. He was very unhappy with White Sox management that they did that. He was very close to Adam LaRoche and his son. And just recently, you know, Chris Sale is one of the best pitchers in the American League right now. He started the All-Star game for the American League. And the Chicago White Sox had a throwback jersey day this last weekend, and Chris Sale was the scheduled pitcher. He came in, saw the throwback uniform, expressed his displeasure that he did not want to wear it. Management told him, too bad, so sad, you got to do it. So he cut it up. He was then scratched from his start and suspended a few games by the team, and has now had to come back and apologize to his teammates and apologize to management and things like that. So that, you know, a lot of teams are really targeting in right now on Chris Sale and the Chicago White Sox because they did start the season really, really well. They are now 7.5 games behind Cleveland. So things are just not going very well for them. They may try to retool here. And if they do, Chris Sale will be the guy that everybody's going to be calling them about here in the next few days as this trade deadline approaches. Some of the other teams, you know, if we just kind of do a quick look at the standings since we're in the second half of the season now, Baltimore leads the East. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays, though, are right on their heels. Cleveland does lead the Central. Closest team behind them is the Detroit Tigers. They are 5.5 games back. The Kansas City Royals, who are your defending world champions, are 8.5 games behind Cleveland. they look to be sellers. Velasquez, one of their starting pitchers, is a piece that a lot of teams are looking at right now. In the West, the Rangers' lead has dwindled quite a bit. They are now 3.5 games over the Astros. However, the Rangers do kind of look like to be on the uptick of things. They have won 3 games in a row, thankfully. So maybe they've kind of sorted all of this out with and figuring out how to win games despite not having the starting pitchers that they are used to having. Not too far behind Houston is the Mariners, 7 games behind the Rangers. And then jumping over to the National League, the Washington Nationals lead the East. They are 4.5 games up over the Marlins, and the Mets continue to fade. They are now 5.5 games behind the Nationals. The Nationals are a really good team. They have a lot of really good pitching, and when it comes playoff time, if they make the playoffs and get a matchup against the Cubs, despite the Cubs being a really good team, a really good offense team, I would expect the Cubs to struggle a lot against the Nationals. So that's an interesting thing to kind of keep an eye on there in the National League. The Cubs do still lead their division. Their lead, though, has dwindled down to 6 over the Cardinals. The Pirates are not too far behind that. And then finally in the West, the Giants' lead has dwindled a lot. They are now only 2.5 games ahead of the Dodgers. The Dodgers are looking to trade for anybody that they feel like they can get on the market. They are making every phone call for every player that you're hearing a rumor about for every team out there. So keep an eye on the Dodgers and the Giants. That should be a real interesting race as we kind of finish out this season.
All right. Do you got any more MLB news?
I think that's it for baseball.
All right, so let's head on over to the NFL. What you got?
Well, you know, we've got a lot of interesting things going on right now with the NFL, as always. We'll start with kind of the sad news going around the NFL right now that involves our Dallas Cowboys, and that is that one of the Dallas Cowboys buses that was carrying the team's media people. The team does employ its own media members that writes articles for their website and their Twitter and things like that, was involved in a bus crash accident on their way out from Arlington out to Oxnard, California in Arizona. A van making a left turn in front of them did not see the bus, and the bus hit the van, killing all 4 people inside. The bus driver was able to keep the bus upright, and no serious injuries were sustained from any of the Cowboys personnel inside the bus, but just a very sad situation all around.
Didn't 4 people seriously get injured?
So 4 people died, yes, that were in the van. No one was seriously injured on the Cowboys side, just some minor injuries from the people in the bus. Mickey Spagnuolo, who's one of the beat writers for the Cowboys, employee who's been around forever, says that he doesn't know how the bus driver kept that bus upright because they were all prepared for it to slip. And then, you know, who knows what would have happened. The bus did, you know, run off the road. The windshield broke out, but the bus driver stayed with it and kept it upright and saved their lives. But unfortunately, the people in the van that turned in front of the bus all lost their lives.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, our thoughts and prayers are with those who were affected. It's really awful that this happened. Do they know what caused it?
Yeah, so the bus was heading down the highway, and the van was going down you know, the opposite way of the highway, and they were making a left turn across the highway that the bus was going up. And I guess just didn't see the bus or thought that they could beat the bus, but did not give themselves enough time, and the bus could not stop itself in enough time to keep from hitting them. Oh, so the van turned left in front of the bus, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. That's awful. Okay, well, from a very bad note, what else you got with the NFL?
Here with our Cowboys, we do have 3 players that are on suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. That is Rolando McClain, the linebacker, who will miss 10 games. DeMarcus Lawrence, our sack leader from last year, who will miss 4 games. And then Randy Gregory, who has already been suspended 4 games, but may be facing a 10-game suspension because he failed to show up for a drug test. And in the NFL, if you fail to show up for one, you automatically fail it. So he is currently trying to appeal that, trying to retake the test, do those things. DeMarco Murray, several years ago, had a suspension handed down to him for the exact same thing, where he failed to show up for a drug test. He just didn't know that it was drug testing day. He didn't show up, was able to appeal it, and they took it back. However, with Randy Gregory, he has already failed two NFL drug tests. He failed one at the combine, and he failed this one this year that got him his 4 suspensions. So he may not be as lucky as DeMarco Murray was several years ago. Reports are is that Randy Gregory has entered a treatment facility. And for people that don't know, Randy Gregory is a known marijuana user. That is what he failed the drug test for at the combine, and it is because of anxiety, he claims, that he uses marijuana. So, you know, he has already suspended 4 games, but the NFL seems to be relaxing on some of these marijuana suspensions. Joshua Gordon, who is a well-known marijuana user for the Cleveland Browns, wide receiver, just spent an entire year out of the NFL, has failed drug tests while out for that entire year, but has been reinstated by the NFL, but will be only suspended 4 games to start this season. So that kind of seems kind of odd to me, to, hey, you're on a year suspension or an indefinite suspension, you're still failing drug tests, but we're going to go ahead and reinstate you and just suspend you 4 games. That to me says that, hey, the NFL may be changing their policy a little bit on these marijuana suspensions. So, you know, we'll see what happens here with Randy Gregory. The other big news for the Cowboys is that of first-round draft pick Ezekiel Elliott, who ex-girlfriend is claiming that at one point in time he abused her. She has produced photos, you know, showing bruises and things like this of that nature. However, Ezekiel Elliott has produced photos where when he broke up with her, she said, don't worry about it. I'm going to, you know, in the future, I'm going to get somebody to rough me up a little bit, and I'm going to blame it on you so that your NFL career gets ruined. So, you know, we have no reference for when these pictures that she is displaying, where they came from, when they came from, but we do have texts, you know, pictures of texts from her saying that she was going to do this to him. So it's a very much a he said, she said thing right now. The NFL is staying out of it until more is known. No charges have been filed against Ezekiel Elliott or anything like that. But, you know, here we are again with another domestic abuse in an NFL player.
I just don't understand all these drugs that these players take. I mean, sure, it's for, like, this football player who takes it for anxiety, but do you have to abuse it? Do you have to just become an addict? Can't you just take it when you're supposed to and not go overboard?
Yeah, and, you know, I really don't understand it at all either. It's a very weird thing. I'm not a marijuana user, nor have I ever been. So I don't understand how it could help you with anxiety, really. I understand that it, you know, it's calming and things like that, but, I mean, you're a football player. Is being calm really that beneficial to you? Seems kind of counter-beneficial. So I'm not real sure they understand the reasoning of that. And there are approved anxiety medications that you can take that the NFL will allow you to take. So, you know, I don't get it either. And, you know, these players just prove that they can't make good decisions. And the NFL has really got to figure out a way to help these guys out at a much younger age. You know, they've got to start some kind of programs in these colleges and things like that to help these guys understand, you know, what are good life choices? How can you keep yourself out of trouble? How can you, you know, what's the correct way to treat a woman and things like that? Like, the NFL has got to figure out new programs to help these guys at an earlier age, then they show up to the NFL and they have issues already.
I agree. I mean, I guess teaching them young, meaning even in high school, I mean, because you never know. They might be going to a football scholarship and not knowing what to do in school. I mean, take it from Baylor. What happened in Baylor? I mean, these guys are still in college, and look what happened. I mean, it has nothing to do with drugs, but look how awful these players at Baylor acted with teaching these football players limits. I'm guessing it would help.
It couldn't hurt. Most of these guys grew up in the inner city. They grew up in one-parent households where they didn't have both parents, where they didn't have great role models as parents. Not to say that, you know, single-parent households can't produce wonderful children, because they can, but there's a lot of, you know, growing up in inner city and being in a single-parent household that makes life tougher. It just does. And, you know, the college programs are not doing things to help these guys be better men necessarily. They want good football players, and they are willing to do anything they can to help you, you know, in your college career, as long as you produce on the field. You know, we saw what you mentioned, Baylor. We saw Baylor go out of their way to hide rape charges so that they could keep these guys on the field, and basically saying, hey, come here and play. We'll help you out with your legal stuff. We'll hide stuff for you. Just come and produce on the field. And that's where the NFL has got to come in and say, look, we can't have this. We need to start tutoring programs. We need to show that these guys how to handle their money, you know, what's expected of them in society, what is not okay, what is okay, because they apparently don't know, and you guys aren't helping them to know. And it's quite the opposite. It's quite the culture shift from where college football used to be quite some time ago, where it was, you know, we're raising men first and football players second. Now it's we're raising football players first, and if they're little boys, then that's okay.
Exactly. All right, what else you got?
Well, you know, unfortunately it is, you know, just a lot of suspension time around the NFL, a lot of appeals. The one thing that we do have now is closure on Deflategate. Almost 2 years after the fact, Tom Brady will start the season suspended the first four games of the season. He lost his last appeal and will not file any more appeals against the NFL. So Tom Brady will serve four game suspension. Le'Veon Bell will also serve a four-game suspension, the big-time running back star for the Pittsburgh Steelers. His is also for the substance abuse policy. We have a lot of guys around the NFL suspended for substance abuse policy. The good news is the football's starting back up. A lot of teams are reporting for camp this week. The Cowboys report for camp Friday, the 29th is their first day of camp. So we'll get out there. We'll see how everybody looks. You know, we'll get our first real look at Tony Romo and see how he's moving around. We'll see, you know, how the Cowboys are going to handle all of these running backs that they have. They currently have five running backs on the roster that all have a chance to make the team, but there's no way that they can have five. Even four is a stretch. So we got to really see how they're going to figure all this out. So things are about to get heated back up for the NFL.
All right, so let's head on over. Well, I have no idea where else to move. I don't know if we have any NBA news, do we?
Well, I think about the only thing that happened this week in the NBA is that of Michael Jordan donating $2 million to a group that is about unifying African-American people and police officers. And, you know, he said, there's just too much from both sides. We've got to come together. We've got to come together in unity. You know, basically saying what a lot of people were saying, that all lives matter, blue lives matter, black lives matter. We've got to find a way to come together and to be able to sit down together and to talk was the message that Michael Jordan sent out this week. And he put his money where his mouth was and donated $2 million. And a lot of NBA players applauded him, saying this was the right thing to say, this was the right thing to do. We've got to find ways to be more like Mike again.
I was surprised when I saw Michael Jordan announce that he was going to donate $2 million. First, because, oh, here we go, more drama because of the Black Lives Matter movement. But what we just saw and heard about Michael Jordan donating so you could start a program for those who were affected. Am I right?
Yeah, it's for those that are affected, and it's for bringing unity together so both sides can sit down and talk and come to kind of more of a understanding of each other, I guess is a way to put it.
Yeah, so more peace, more unity, that's what we all need.
Right, and that's what Michael said, and a lot of players are standing up and applauding Michael. And, you know, this came right in the wake of a lot of WNBA players wearing Black Lives Matter shirts during warm-up and all getting fines from the WNBA league, and then them all saying, well, we're going to protest, we're not going to play any more WNBA, and the league basically saying, whoa, we'll rescind the fines, we'll find some way for you guys to express yourselves that isn't during warm-ups. So, you know, the WNBA and its players are kind of talking all this out. I think Michael just said, you know, there's just so much out there, you know, people aren't sure the right way to express themselves, they're not sure the right way to talk about this, they're not sure what group they should actually be supporting. I'm going to do something, I'm going to, you know, put some money out there, I'm going to allow everybody to sit down, you know, express themselves, but in a peaceful way. And I think that that's the right way to go about all of this for both sides.
Okay, so what else you got?
I think that's it for the world of sports for this week.
Okay, so where can we follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at CavemanK, and Caveman is spelled just like Clint, with a K.
All right, Clint, if you could hold the line, we'll be right with you. All right, coming up next, we'll be chatting with country singer and songwriter Colin Axwell. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
Give me a math quiz.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer. Visit feedingamerica.org/summermeals to find your local food bank for help. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the What's Up Cindy B radio show. I am very excited to bring back Colin Axwell to the show. How are you?
Not too bad, Cynthia. How are you doing?
Doing good. Okay, so you have been a really busy man. Tell us, what have you been working on?
Well, actually, when is the last time we spoke? It had to be close to a year, right?
It's been a year, yeah.
Oh my gosh, up to the date?
I don't know to be exactly sure, but I just know it was definitely last year.
Well, I think it was right around the time, maybe we had just gotten back from Nashville and we were putting out the first song. Mm-hmm. So yeah, everything since then is kind of a blur. we've been playing our butts off. Not as much as some people out there, they're playing every day, but you know, we got, I think, something like 40 to 50 shows this year.
Yeah.
Under our belt. And, you know, we did a music video last month. Been writing songs, planning on doing some more recordings. It's just it's been busy.
I bet. So now, since last time we spoke, you just started promoting your new then new album. So after you've been touring, let's talk about your new album coming out, or let's just talk about your first, your video. which was hilarious. I absolutely loved the video. You did a really good job. Tell me how much fun you had doing that.
Well, honestly, we filmed that over in Southbridge at the Cannery Music Hall. Southbridge, Mass. I'm sorry, I forget that you're all the way down in Texas. I'm sure.
Sorry, yeah,
I'm sure people don't.
Some of us don't know where that is.
Well, it's mid to western Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And the people over there were real nice, and they let us come in and film it for nothing, just so they could get some exposure. And like, you know, I sent some love back their way, obviously. But it was weird. Like we were sitting around when we first got there, and the girl that was supposed to be in that music video, she was late by like an hour, and she kept calling us and telling us that she was just right around the corner. Oh, I'm right around the corner. I'll be there in a minute. Be there in a minute. Come to find out, she actually lived in New York State, and she never left the state.
Oh, wow.
So the girl, first we're freaking out just a little bit, kind of thinking, okay, what the heck are we going to do? And I pointed at a girl who showed up to be an extra, and I just said, hey, you know, you're pretty cute. Why don't you just be in the video? And turns out she did an amazing job. So put our minds at ease. We got through the whole thing in just a couple of hours. And we weren't looking for anything too crazy. I wanted to bring some legitimacy to what we were doing, get some sort of a professional video done. And I think it turned out pretty good. And it had a cute little story to it. And hopefully that's relatable, you know?
Oh, yeah. If you guys don't know, Colin wrote a song called Wildside. And if you haven't seen the video, which you just released it, right?
I think I've only put it out maybe a week or two ago at this point.
Yeah. Well, check it out. It is an amazing song, and it's so funny, and it's so relatable that you're going to be like, yep. That happens exactly what happens every single time you go to a bar or to a club. I mean, whatever. So tell us, why did you, besides being relatable, what made you want to write this song?
Well, actually, I do this thing every year. It's a trip that a bunch of songwriters go on, and I'm big into networking. And I found out about this songwriting retreat down in Martha's Vineyard that everybody goes to once a year with these hit writers from Nashville. I mean, these guys have a bunch of number ones. And some of them, one of the guys I think writes for Darius Rucker, like assistant bassist. And, you know, I went down there and I was going through a couple workshops with these guys, and they had a suggestion they had a bunch of suggestions on how to come up with ideas for songs. And one of them was creating lists. And so that's what I kind of did. I came back from that retreat and I said, you know what, I think maybe I'm going to take something that these guys were talking about and make it into a song. And I think it was actually on the ferry ride on the way back, I just started making a list about things I would like about a girl and the things I wouldn't like so much. And it just formed into a song, and it was kind of neat. It all came together in like an afternoon, you know?
Wow. And on a ferry ride, who knew?
Well, you know, it's like 2 hours, hour.
Wow. Okay. Then never mind. If it's a very productive ferry ride.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. All right. So let's get a little snippet on this amazing, funny, hilarious song, Wildside.
Don't miss your bad moods or your ridiculous collection of shoes. And I don't miss that endless list of all the things that only matter to you. I don't miss you maxing my credit card. But I miss the way you dance on the bar, barefoot and playing air guitar. Deal in your
express your wild side.
I'm just laughing to myself because I've seen the video and the fact that it's just so hilarious about the character that you play. Who knew?
just being a bit of a nerd in that one for, well, actually, I mean, I'm both the guys, right? So I get to be cool and be a nerd at the same time, which is, it's neat to play both sides of the coin.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, well, it made a couple of the shots a little tricky, though. I actually had another guy who I get hit by, as blurred in the distance, he looked enough like me that I get to put him on stage and sort of filmed myself in shots with him, and we made it work.
Nice. Who knew? I mean, I didn't notice it. So, now that you're going to be, you're promoting this video, you're promoting this song, what's next?
Well, I'm actually working on rebranding as a large show band. You might have known, or I don't know if you do or not, but this summer we played a bunch of bigger shows. I just did one with Caroline Cole, who is Reba McEntire's protege. Mm-hmm. And we played a show with her in Connecticut. We did a show with Florida Georgia Line and Cole Swindell in New Hampshire. And we've been doing a lot of fair gigs up here around New England. And I'm trying to rebrand the band as a band that plays those bigger shows, and you know, not so much that we stay away from bars and smaller gigs, but I just want people to look at us and say, you know what, we got a big act coming through town, that's what we want. Mm-hmm. So I've got a company, Simon Says Booking, they do marketing too, though, at Orange Mass. They're helping me out with a little rebranding, and I'm just going to hit it even harder than I am now.
Yeah.
You know?
So rebranding, does that mean that you're going to be writing a different type of material or same material? What does that mean?
Well, same material, but, you know, you can only be good at so many things, and I don't necessarily struggle to promote myself, but mm-hmm. there are people that are much better at it. This girl, Kara, that I've been talking to, she has, like, an MBA in marketing, and, you know, there's just things that would take me 4 years to learn that she knows now. So she's just going to teach me how to present the band in a way that it has a consistent brand. And she's going to give me pointers on certain ways to present the internet marketing and what to do with your email lists and all this good stuff that, you know, us artists, we want to be a musician. If we had it our way, we would just be sitting in the studio working on music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to bring someone else in that knows what they're doing so you can at least be closer to that vision.
Definitely. So does this mean that you're going to be promoting any new material soon, or are we going to just wait for this to come after you have your summer concerts or tour, possible maybe tour?
Yeah, I'd like to say I'm on a 2-year plan, honestly. I'm trying to get established. Really, this is our first year playing, and we're doing pretty well. But, I mean, our first single was in September. So, I mean, to go from September to playing with, like I said, we played with Florida Georgia Line last month. Mm-hmm. 1 year, not so bad. But yeah, it takes a little bit more planning than that to get out on a cross-country tour. Mm-hmm. There is material that I haven't released yet. We're actually going to film another music video in August 27th. I think I just put a big post about that out on social media. But there's a couple more songs that are already recorded. I've been writing some new songs with some guys down in Nashville that are, you know, I'm pretty excited about, but I still have to get down and record them. I'd expect a couple new songs out by the end of the year, at least.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So any chance of you coming up down to the southern states, like Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, for one?
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do is, see, I haven't really nailed this down yet. It's really difficult until you have enough fans in an area to bring an entire band, because mm-hmm. covering the cost is just
expensive.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
So what I may do is I may try to schedule, once I get this promotional stuff down, and maybe I can hit target markets out there, mm-hmm. and then kind of see where there's a concentration of people, maybe I can go open some shows for some people as an acoustic guy. Or maybe, you know, if there's enough money in it to where I can pull it off, maybe I'll hire a band in a different state and I can just meet them there. And there's a lot of things I haven't figured out yet. I didn't get the successful musician handbook mailed to me yet. So
you're doing pretty good so far, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh yeah, no, I appreciate that. And yeah, it's one of these professions where you just kind of wander around in the dark and hope you meet the right people and that can help you out. And in the meantime, you figure it out on your own, and it's really trial and error.
Well, I mean, it's really working out for you, especially, I mean, Florida Georgia Line, that's not a little thing. I mean, come on. That's huge.
No, not at all. We were pretty pumped about that one. And, you know, my goal this year was to be professional, and that means in every facet of what I'm doing, that means I wanted to get, you know, I feel like the last time we talked, I didn't even have any of the songs out of Nashville already, now that I'm thinking about it. But my goal was to get the song sounding professional, on par with what's on the radio, quality-wise, musicianship, that kind of thing. Get some shows under my belt that, and present myself in a professional manner at the shows, have marketing that people look at and it looks like a professional band. And all that stuff has kind of been pulled together in the last year. I mean, this marketing girl is the last piece of it. But once that happens, a lot of this business, as I'm finding out, is about perception. So I'm hoping once I can really show, or I can really change people's perceptions on what kind of band we are, things will move even faster, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and the fact that you did a lot of state fairs in the northern part of the U.S., I mean, that's also really good exposure. I mean, can you imagine, like, for example, here at the state fair, the Texas State Fair? I mean, that would be really great exposure. A lot of country bands play at the state fair all the time.
Oh, sure. Sure. And that's really my target, that kind of show. It's nice to go to a place where people show up to watch music. And sometimes, some of the fairs aren't like that, but some of them definitely are. I mean, one of the ones we played with this summer was, I think Josh Thompson was headlining. And some of those people came out for the fair, but there were a good number of those people that came out for the music.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something that you get in a club on a weekend where people just want to forget about work and drink. So, yeah, just to target those kind of venues where people go out with the idea that they're going to see some good music. That's definitely something to consider.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely hope that you get to come up here to the Texas State Fair and perform. That would be really awesome.
That's the plan. You guys, I mean, down there, you have a whole different subgenre of country, right? The Texas red dirt country,
right? But we're not gonna oppose of you coming down here and singing. I mean, come on now.
No, I know. That'd be interesting. We'll see. I mean, it's weird up here because people in New England are finally accepting country after they haven't for a very long time. But there's still not a lot of local traction.
Right.
Like all the bands that are coming up here are major headlining touring acts. So it's still a very young market, and it's kind of exciting. Around New England, you'd think it would be hard up here, but you know, they don't really have too many local country bands to call their own.
Right. Yeah.
I imagine the only reason I'm saying that is because I imagine down in Texas, imagine the competitions like Nashville. It's just absolutely nuts.
Well, yeah, that is true, especially in the Fort Worth market or in the Austin market. I mean, there are a lot of singers, and we're especially in the Fort Worth area where there's a lot of rodeos, a lot of places where singers get to perform. So,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah, it's pretty competitive, but that's where the Cowboys are, you know?
Well, you know, I always believe that if the music is good enough, there's room for everyone that is putting out good stuff.
That's true.
So it's not really competition in that sense, I guess. Once you get yourself on that higher level, it's going to thin itself out anyway. I imagine singer-songwriter-wise, if you're relatively unknown, it's probably more difficult to get established. But,
yeah, man,
it's just a lot of people out there doing it. I know you go to Nashville, and there's just an amazing band on every street corner.
Every street corner. So, I mean, well, that's really awesome that you are succeeding in New England, especially like you mentioned, not a whole lot of people are that accepting of country music, but it's a start and you never know, you might kick it off and be the cause everybody is liking country music up there.
Well, they're getting there. They're just not used to the guys in the South are used to up and coming bands, and they're used to getting excited about seeing guys before they make it. So, you know, it's still in its infancy up here in New England, but people are taking a liking to it finally. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that country music has changed a lot, sort of leans towards more of that R&B pop style. Hey, fine by me, you know, as long as if I can make a living playing music, then we'll play a little what I like, a little what people like. It's kind of the deal. Like, we're here to entertain people. So without them, what are you going to do?
Exactly. That's awesome. Well, Colin, where can we get more information on your music and videos and possible tour dates?
Well, the tour dates and the new video and my first single with that guy, that's all up on my website. It's just colinaxwell.com with three X's, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll link you to the Instagram and the Facebook, and everything is on there. Like I said, all the dates that are coming up.
That is awesome. Well, Colin, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. It's so awesome that you're succeeding. I can't wait to see more videos and listen to more of your singles. It's going to be an amazing year for you, my friend. I can't wait.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. If you could hold the line, I'll be right with you. All right.
Sure enough.
So, like I said, it's always a pleasure speaking to Colin. Visit his website at colinaxwell.com. And seriously, guys, he's an amazing singer. I mean, everybody on the show, you guys are amazing singers. You blow my mind every single time I have you on the show. So I am very lucky to have y'all come on and just promote your music. Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. So thank you, Colin. Thank you for coming on. Thank you, Clint, for catching us up on what happened in the sports world, especially what happened with the Dallas Cowboys. Again, our deepest condolences with the families of those who were affected. I can't imagine how horrible that must have felt. And of course, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next time. Bye.